It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As much as I love my job, but all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid.
Cori Bush is mad. She is not handling this well. St. Louis told Cori Bush yesterday in our primary that at least the congressional district one here said, yeah, we're good. We're done with you. And I think it's important for people to remember, you put Wesley Bell in, who is a prosecutor here. He's a very, very far left progressive. He just isn't as nuts as Cori Bush is. Like I said, she's not handling it well. We'll play a little bit more from her psychotic rant yesterday after she lost late last night. We have a Tim Walz nomination for the vice president portion of the Harris-Walz ticket. She decided to go to the Minnesota governor instead of the Pennsylvania governor. Whether that was her choice or he bowed out, I don't know. But let's get to Dory Murdoch. I'm excited to have him back on the show. Nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor. Lots of news continuing to unfold in between each time we speak. Dory, it's good to have you back on the show with us.
Annie, how are you? You know, we could talk at 1 o'clock and then talk again at 3 o'clock, and there'd probably be 15 more things to discuss in those intervening 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard for we're tasked with paying attention to all of this. There's a lot of people who aren't paying attention to it, but they are impacted by the results of elections like yesterday or the implications of a Harris-Walz ticket. What do you make of Kamala Harris's decision to say this is the direction that I want my administration to go?
Well, you know, the earlier comment you said about people who don't pay attention, I like to tell people, look, you know, they'll say, well, I'm not interested in government. I say, yeah, well, guess what? The government's interested in you.
Amen.
That's the problem. It's not a two-way street. As for what this means, you know, Kamala Harris in this sort of bloodless coup where they overthrew Joe Biden, I actually feel sorry for the man at this point, and just sort of wrestled the nomination away from him without anybody voting for her. She spent the intervening about 17 days or 16 days saying, well, you know, I used to hate fracking. I now love fracking. I was for Medicare for all. I'm now the biggest proponent of private health insurance. And, you know, the Green New Deal, what's that? I've never heard of it. Borders are what borders are. So she spent all this time trying to convert herself into what I call Margaret Kamala Thatcher. And now, you know, that might have been, she might have been able to continue that masquerade had she picked Josh Shapiro, who I think is obviously a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, but not totally insane. And also the governor, popular governor of a state with a huge number of electoral college votes. I believe it's 19. It's probably one of the biggest prizes among the swing states, if not the biggest. And she decided not to do that. She seemed to buckle under to the pro-Hamas anti-Semitic wing of the Democrat Party and instead picked one of their favorites, Governor Walz of Minnesota, who is far left, frankly insane in a lot of areas, even maybe further to the left of Kamala Harris, the original Kamala Harris, not the new and improved Kamala Harris. And that says to me that she is not interested really in moving towards any kind of a moderate or centrist or even non-insane Democrat governance. If God forbid she gets elected, we're going to have the crazy wacko wing of the Democrat Party in the Oval Office and right down the hall in the Vice President's office, and also serving as the President of the Senate if American people do the wrong thing and elect the Harris-Walz ticket to the presidency.
You know, DeRoy, I keep hearing them shriek about threats to democracy. Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. It's a pillar of their campaign, even though it's like, what does that even mean? I did some quick research, and I don't know what to make of this, but Reuters reported on July 15th that the DNC was going to nominate Joe Biden virtually just to get everything done ahead of time before the convention. They said something about an Ohio ballot. Ohio said, well, we took care of that. And they said, well, just to be extra sure. So they made that decision on July 15th. And then 6 days later, on July 21st, Joe Biden drops out. I have a theory that on July 15th, they knew exactly what was going to happen, that Biden was going to drop out, and that this was the way to guarantee that they didn't have to go to a convention and hope that people would back Kamala Harris.
Well, that's interesting. I know that what you talk about doing the early online nomination, Democrats got themselves in some trouble because the date, the deadline to get on the Ohio ballot was after the convention. I don't know why they screwed that up.
Right.
And thought was, okay, we'll do a big Zoom call. That will be official nomination, and the convention would just be basically a party, essentially. I guess somehow they didn't do that, and they managed to slough off poor Joe Biden, who's not been seen in a week. I think that this was basically, like I say, a bloodless coup d'etat by the anti-Democrat Party. These, as you say, are the people who lecture all of us, and especially Donald Adolf Hitler Trump, essentially, as they describe him, as being a threat to democracy, and it'll be the last election we ever have in America, et cetera. And these same people who claim to be the Vatican of democracy in the world are now in the process of installing a nominee for president who's not received one vote. Not
right.
One single ballot was cast for Kamala Harris for president. I've never seen such a thing. This is the first time in American history, I believe, that this has happened. And, if you're going to do that, well, great. Just be honest and say, look, we'll stick in whoever we want, that the voters be damned. But instead, they do this and then claim to be the guarantors and the protectors of democracy in the world versus Donald J. Trump, who actually received ballots and locked millions of votes and properly got the delegates who voted for him at the convention and made him the nominee for the GOP. So it seems to me that the Republican Party is the small D Democrat Party, and the capital D Democratic Party is really the anti-democracy party, as they've proved again and again. And now with this far-left presidential nominee and maybe even further left VP nominee, I think they're going to divorce themselves even further from the American public. And I hope people see that and vote accordingly and send Kamala Harris and Governor Walz back to the private sector.
I wanted to ask you about the National Association of Black Journalists appearance that Donald Trump made. And it was interesting to look at all of the reaction after the fact from people on X that were either maybe part of the National Association of Black Journalists or people of color who were reacting to Donald Trump giving him credit for going into the lion's den there, knowing that it's not going to be comfortable territory, but being willing to do it. Not really so much saying, well, I'm going to endorse Donald Trump because of it, but at least showing him some respect for participating in that when Kamala Harris chose to be busy that day and not be able to show up when she had prior committed to it. I wonder what you made of that event. It was definitely tense. It was definitely hostile. Do you think it was a plus for Donald Trump to do that, or should he take that pitch the next time he's offered?
I think even critics of Donald J. Trump give him some credit for showing up, one lion's den after another. He, as you say, appeared before the two very hostile journalists at the National Association of Black Journalists about a week ago. Harris Faulkner of Fox News was there. I think she asked much more fair questions. He did that. He's been on CNN multiple times. I think maybe he's even been on MSNBC. He's gone before this group of voters in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, New York. He's been up to Harlem. He's gone a lot of places that Republicans don't normally go. And if you're trying to appeal for the black vote, the Hispanic vote, to the Jewish vote, whatever it is, you need to show up and ask for it politely. And in fact, it seems to be holding up the polls. He's scored as high as about 25% of the black vote. about a week ago, maybe last Thursday, I believe the latest Harris-Harvard survey came out. And even after Kamala Harris had become the nominee for the Democrats, he's still holding on to 25% of the Democrat vote. And if he hangs on to that, it's going to be very hard for Kamala Harris to make this work, because that's still, even if she gets the suburban women excited and everything else, it's very hard to win an election if one quarter of the black base of the Democrat Party goes away. And I think a lot of that, as you say, is people who appreciate being asked politely for their support. And unlike a lot of Republicans who just stay away from black folks, Trump is actually showing up and talking to him. I think a lot of people either appreciate it and are supporting him, or if they don't support him, they at least appreciate the fact that he's showing up, unlike Kamala Harris, who totally blew off the Association of Black Journalists and didn't even drop by to attend.
Dory Murdoch speaking with us right now. He's a nationally syndicated columnist. He's a Fox News contributor as well. One of the things that Donald Trump has said, too, when it comes to that has been that a lot has been made of it, was his comment about black jobs. And I believe it had to do with immigration. And I wonder, when you heard him say that again, does it make you cringe to hear that? Do you understand what he was saying differently? What was your reaction?
Yeah, I assume when he said black jobs, he meant jobs held by black people. I don't think that he's saying, you know, black people only do XYZ jobs. I think he meant people, basically black job holders, if you will, or black employees, if you want to use that term. I think always President Trump could use his, you know, pick some of his words a little more carefully. And those of us who watch him very often understand what he means, even though it doesn't necessarily come out quite as smoothly as he'd like. But I don't think there's anything malicious or inappropriate by that. You know, he tends to talk a little bit quickly, and sometimes will start a sentence and not finish it, or begin a thought and not quite complete it. And that's sometimes a little bothersome. But I think most people who follow him and have heard him speak before understand that he wasn't talking about saying that blacks only hold a certain number of jobs, but that black job holders in general, I think he's saying, often suffer at the hands of illegal aliens who come in and charge very, very little money for their labor, and therefore put pressure on black wages, and the pressure is downward, not upward.
Isn't it interesting, Droy, that if you listen to what Donald Trump is saying, the context is always there to understand the intention of it. And like you said, maybe sometimes he could articulate a little bit better, but you can always understand the point that he's trying to make. Isn't it interesting how the press will listen to what Donald Trump says and immediately glean what they want him to have said for their own personal benefit, regardless of what the actual context or intent was? Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is talking. Nobody knows what she's saying. She's saying literally nothing with so many words, and they don't even try to summarize. They just let her talk, and then they move on to a hit piece on Trump.
Yes, the significance of time is that there is some significance to time. Yeah, things like that, exactly.
And the talking time is of the significance, circle. Yes.
And yeah, nothing is more timely than the significance of time, precisely. Yeah, well, this is the case with President Trump. He has, you know, not one millimeter of wiggle room or leeway or, looking at him with the benefit of the doubt from the standpoint of the left-wing media. And anything he says, if he has one comma out of place, they're going to jump all over him and assume he means, you know, the worst possible interpretation of anything he says. You recall that 4 or 5 day brouhaha about Trump threatening a bloodbath if he loses the election.
Yes.
What he said was a bloodbath would happen in the auto industry if Biden were reelected and he allowed a bunch of cheap Chinese-owned Mexican-manufactured electric vehicles to come to the United States, and there'd be a bloodbath in the auto industry because they'd be undercut by prices and a lot of auto workers would lose their jobs. This was interpreted, or this was presented as, if I lose the election, my MAGA supporter is going to run through the streets and slit the throats of Democrats. And that's not at all what he said. Anyone who watched the speech understood that. These journalists who claimed otherwise knew better, but they saw an opportunity to beat up on Trump and create a brand new hoax and claim that he was threatening a bloodbath, you know, all these people dying after, if he lost the election, which is not what he said, but they were able to get 3 or 4 or 5 days of huge, nasty headlines out of that. And you're right, that when they take anything that's even slightly ambiguous and they don't say, well, you know, maybe he meant this, they say, no, obviously it's further proof that he's, you know, the bastard son of Adolf Hitler or something like this. I mean, that's the instant knee-jerk reaction they have to anything that the Trump says that can be interpreted anything differently how he meant it.
Yeah, it's so predictable and so frustrating, and yet there are still people who are influenced by it. It's very frustrating. So I would like to have people like you on, Droy, to add some clarity to the sense of whatever is going on by the hour. We're always grateful for you.
Mounting non-clarity.
Yes, exactly. Droy, thank you. Good to speak with you again.
All right, Annie. Great talk to you. Thank you.
Yes, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Dory Murdoch is a nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. We love having him on the show with us each week. Quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the YouTube live chat poll. Grade the Missouri primary election results. How do you feel about what Missouri declared yesterday through those primary results? We'll discuss when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
To the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being here with us this afternoon. It's the day after the Missouri primary and things happened yesterday. Our YouTube live chat poll is ready for you to come vote and grade what you think about yesterday's poll results. We've got a clip here. Let's see. I'm going to play this one. Mike Kehoe coming out ahead in the Missouri governor race had this to say last night.
St. Louis is my home, and I am just absolutely thrilled that I'm here and I can represent him. We're going to make that city incredible. I love it, and I don't even know how to put words into
it. It was a really close race. What do you think accounted for voters turning to you?
We worked hard. We went everywhere in this state. We had over 27 organizations endorsing us. We had volunteers. We hit all the bases we needed to hit to run as hard a campaign as we did. And it was hard work, and our volunteers, people believed in us.
The election doesn't end tonight. You said tomorrow you're going to still continue.
I didn't hear.
The election isn't over, as you said.
Oh, no. No, we're going to start working hard tomorrow morning. Tonight's about these people who have supported us for years. Tomorrow morning, we're back at it, and we'll work as hard as we can to win in November.
So, Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, they're excited to be able to declare victory over Bill Igel and Jay Ashcroft. With 95% plus votes in right now, he received 274,840 votes. That's 39.4% of the vote. 227,000 to Bill Igel and 162,000 to Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft at 23.2%. So, you know, he's got to win. He won by about 50,000 votes. He also only convinced less than 40% of Missouri that he was the right guy as somebody who is a statewide official right now. Of course, I live in Illinois, so I have left a lot of the coverage of the Missouri primary to Mark and Mark, and they've done a fantastic job. Mark Ridden did a wonderful job with a huge, huge cast last night on our election results show. But what do you guys make of the Mike Kehoe thing? Because Mike Kehoe was billed as the establishment. Isn't it kind of funny to take in the Missouri election as an outsider? I almost feel like a lot of people in my life get to be as kind of an outsider. They're like, you know what's happening. You know it's important. But it's not for me. That watching all of this stuff happen and you know people who are very passionate about one candidate or another. Kehoe was billed as the establishment guy.
Well, he had the most money, for sure, and that helped a lot.
But, I mean, does that have anything to do with being establishment?
Yeah, I think so, because you have, that means you have establishments behind you, you know, giving you a lot of money.
I think, don't you think of establishment, though, being like trying to keep the status quo of government where it is? That's the way I like that you're there to serve the establishment of government as opposed to the people. Brad, do you like, how do you view establishment?
Yeah. Establishment is like the lifelong politician who's been in there that, like you said, the status quo, keep the machine running. We've got a good system here. Let's not rock the boat. It works for me.
You could have a lot of money behind you and be a trailblazer.
Yes.
And I don't think that by virtue of just having a lot of money behind you, I think it's easy to bill that as a negative thing. Like if I were running against someone who had all the money, I would obviously be like, well, of course he's got it. You know why? Because he's going to serve them and not me.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
how I would talk if I were running for office.
that's why you'd win.
No, that's why I'm here and not running for office.
No, I think that overall, and governor's race included, I thought there were a lot of really good candidates that I would have liked to have seen fare a little bit better. However, I don't really walk away from... I mean, as an Illinoisan, it doesn't directly impact me, but I don't walk away from last night thinking that there was any big loss. It does look like Igel and Ashcroft kind of split the more deeply red vote.
You added those together.
56%.
Yeah. But that said, Kehoe will actually gain. He'll get a higher percentage of the vote entirely in the general. So, you know, you can.
You hope.
Yeah, you figure he will than 40%. But I don't necessarily see this as really any... It doesn't look like there was any sort of big referendum that happened yesterday in Missouri.
I saw in our chat here earlier, I don't know if we starred this comment. I should have probably done it myself. Truth Fighter said, after last night watching the Missouri results, Republicans need to worry. Now, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. However, I will point out that in the Republican primary governor race, there were 697,000 votes cast. In the Democrat governor race, there were 377,000.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sitting there worried.
No, I'm not either.
For the state of Missouri.
You know, you did see some of the more conservative candidates out last, because it wasn't by wide margins. Some of the more, like you said, maybe establishment candidates in the lieutenant governor's race. I was talking with Mark Cox. He said that, I think the guy's name is Wasinger.
Mm-hmm.
He outlasted barely, you know, it looks like. And I don't even know if they've actually called that race. As of this morning, they hadn't, because it was that close.
206,875 votes, 31.4% for Wasinger and Lincoln Huff.
Yes.
Is that how you say the other guy?
Yep.
199,423 votes at 30.3%. So it is 1.1% difference right now with greater than 95% of the votes in. However, it is not called. Not according to the New York Times results that I'm looking at right now.
And then Bob Onder, obviously very conservative, and he won his primary. So I don't really see anything looking at Missouri today and think, this is really what happened yesterday. This is what shaped the race. It's just kind of all over the place. I mean, it seems like Republicans...
I very much so think that the Cori Bush race is the huge story.
I do,
and we
too.
Said this yesterday. We said yesterday that we were... That the national story, regardless of what happens in the Republican primary, the national story coming out of the Missouri primary would be if Cori Bush lost, and probably if she won, too. If she would have won, it probably would have held through. But her loser speech last night, and I only say that because she was the loser, was...
Pulling me away from my position as congresswoman. Come on. All you did was take some of the strings off. Let's be clear. 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 Let's talk about what it really is. Because see, now I don't have to worry about some strings that I have attached, and as much as I love my job. But all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid.
So I'm going to pause this 54 seconds in. She's essentially only said two things in 54 seconds. Well, three things. She said that she, there ain't no strings on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pinocchio was fitting.
Yeah.
And secondly, that she is now radicalized. It's funny that she's the last one to come to that conclusion. However, the other thing is she wants to be clear. There were 8.5 because she finished the, let's be clear, with the reiteration of that. But she went on.
See, now they about to see this other Corey, this other side. Because let me say this. I just grew up a whole lot more over the last few weeks. Just grew up a whole different way. And so what they are about to get, they think. So the thing is this.
She doesn't know what she's saying. I've watched this whole thing. She's got a riled up crowd. They're all there supporting her. She is ticked off that she lost. She is mad that she lost. And it's, again, the chacarone. Like, you got the vibe, you got the beat. I don't really need to know what the words are because I got the people. I got their attention. She doesn't.
The thing is this, I don't think that anything.
She's still not saying anything. There's no words.
There is nothing that happens in my life that happens in vain. So if this happened, it's because it was meant to happen. And let me say, it's because of the work that I need to do. And let me say this.
Please. Say something. Make your point.
APAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down.
Oh, no, that's not what you should have said. That's not it. I mean, when Cori Bush gets spanked, and folks, listen to me, Wesley Bell is the same policies, but in a reasonable approach of a human being. One might say not radicalized. I don't know. I'll use her words. Wesley Bell is not a step in the right direction from a policy standpoint for the congressional district that envelops St. Louis here. But boy, is it going to be less embarrassing to watch your representative on a regular basis just in the way they behave. And last night was the cherry on top. Like, okay, we see you. And like I said, you are the last one to come to the conclusion that everybody else here came to a long time ago. Goodbye.
What does it look like if the version of Cori Bush that we've been seeing is the one with all the strings attached, that she's saying, now that I'm free, I can finally say what I really want
to
say.
Here's the thing, though. When you listen to that, that is just a person processing out loud their extreme anger and disappointment at losing their job, at
all
losing
emotion.
The race. Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing that, like, you could hear her think about, what am I feeling right now? How do I put that into words? There's no substance there. She's angry at AIPAC. Very clear that she's angry at that organization. But yeah, what does she look like? That's just blustering. And yeah, you may have voted me out, but that makes me worse. That makes me more angry.
It's a tantrum.
It is exactly what
it is. It's a tantrum. I've seen them before from my 3-year-old. When her sucker falls on the ground. It's the same. She doesn't say that she's going to burn my kingdom down, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little different.
What a lunatic to go in that direction. I mean, the other thing that I took from her speech there, that rant, that unhinged rant, it was all about Cori Bush. But of course it is. It always has been all about Cori Bush. I mean, I assume that when we hear of Wesley Bell, because he's going to win that seat. There are Republicans running against Wesley Bell in this district, a Republican, but it's going to be blue. Just like a lot of you, when you voted for Republicans yesterday, you knew that this was deciding who that statewide office was going to be, who was going to hold it. I mean, when you listen to Kehoe talking about there, he was talking about all the things they're going to do for St. Louis and everything. And I'm like, well, you got a 90 days. You got to win that one, too. But he's not worried about it. Maybe, I don't know that he should be. I think Missouri has got just way more sensible people, a higher percentage of sensible people, I should say, because Illinois has a lot more people. But I think the Cori Bush and the Jamal Bowman thing, yeah, they were funded by people who support causes different than them, but they're hateful, bigoted people. And it came back to bite him in the butt. And I don't see you, Cori Bush. I don't see you shaking your fist at the sky when George Soros comes here and funds Kim Gardner so that she can destroy the city of St. Louis. You didn't care about that. That wasn't a problem for you. I don't see these big blue cities, you know, crying about Soros-funded district attorneys coming in and choosing not to prosecute crimes and turning criminals into victims and victims into criminals. You're not crying when that money comes flooding in because it's on your side. Spare me your hypocrisy. Boo-hoo. Loser.
I'm
so happy she lost.
I am too, because I heard a good portion of that speech last night, and you're exactly right that it really wasn't about any sort of the politicians you really want to get behind are the ones that have these big ideas, and they inspire you. Sometimes they motivate you out of fear or anger, but they're definitely motivating you. Cori Bush was talking about Cori Bush, and she was upset she lost her job.
She's a hateful person. It's not about her policies. She's a hateful person.
I got a press release last night that it was actually how I found out that she had lost, because I was watching a lot of results, but I was watching more on the Republican side. And I got this something from Justice Democrats, the headline being Cori Bush is what the future of the Democratic Party looks like. And I was like, oh, did she win? No, she lost. And they still are saying she's the future. And I'm like, if that's what you think the future of your party looks like.
It is. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are in the same lane as Cori Bush. The Kamala Harris, Tim Walz agenda is better served when the squad is in charge and running things.
Yeah.
I think that's for certain. Let's talk more about it in the 2 o'clock hour. What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us your grades online in the Annie Fry YouTube chat. I want to get your guys' grades, too. We'll do that right at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We need to get to a break because I'm so excited to have Libby and Amy are coming in here, and they're with the Lutheran Elementary School Association, and this is a passion project for me. You've heard me talk about Lutheran schools before. I am so excited to be partnering with them because, folks, there is a way. Let's take a quick break and get them in here in just a minute. Don't go away.
She's my pride. This is the Annie Fry Show.
She's my sweet little baby. I'm a little lover boy.
At Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I am so overly excited about a new partnership that we have here on the Annie Fry Show, and it's my ability to throw the weight of my show here and this station behind Lutheran schools. As you know, I am a product of Lutheran schools. I hope that's not like a negative thing. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I went to a Lutheran school, elementary school. I graduated from a Lutheran high school, Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, and I have in studio with me Libby Guberle and Amy Colvin. They are with the Lutheran Elementary School Association. And if you want to learn more about what we're talking about while we're talking about it, you can go to lisastl.org/Annie. And Lisa is just the abbreviation for Lutheran Elementary School Association. So it's lesastl.org/Annie. Libby and Amy, thank you so much for being in here today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Excited to have you. It is back to school time. So my son starts high school tomorrow, and he's going to the Lutheran High School. And my other kids are going to their Lutheran school that starts next week. But how is it looking right now in the Lutheran schools as far as enrollment goes? Because I do know that a lot of people are looking for alternatives to the public education that they have in their area, in their community.
Well, we've had a very good run the last number of years, increasing our enrollment in the Lutheran school system 20% since before COVID. So I think what people are finding in our system, and half of the kids in our schools are not Lutherans, they're from other walks of life, and they're finding that safety, traditional values, teachers are willing to partner with the parents in education and willing to be let their children be disciplined as necessary, but there's just a lot more partnership and more family atmosphere in the smaller classrooms.
I know this. I think I've always known this, but I'll direct this towards you, Amy. The thing that I appreciate the most as a parent who is willing to pay the tuition to send my kids to a Lutheran school, and it is incredibly more affordable than people think. It's a parochial education. it's within your reach. Maybe if you're listening right now and your grandparents have kids that you would do anything to get your kid out of, grandkid out of public school, look into a Lutheran school near you, because it's very more accessible than you think it is. But Amy, the idea that my kids are going to a Lutheran school that has a definitive understanding of what is right, what is wrong. When something is wrong, you address it. But there's also the element of forgiveness on the other side of that. It's the full circle. That's so, that's, to me, it's like the Christian education and that understanding, I don't even really care about the math and the English. They do a great job, but what a lesson to learn, especially in these times, to be able to have that definitive understanding of right and wrong, and the most important part, the forgiveness.
Yes, I also am in a Lutheran school parent, or have been. I haven't been in a few years, but my children were there. My daughter was there through sixth grade, so she did 8 years, including preschool. My son, 6 years, including preschool. And the effect that's had on our lives and who my children are and the people that they present to the rest of the world is enormous, so especially when you compare it to their peers. The idea of forgiveness. Everybody is my friend. We're all here to do it together. And the academics are excellent. They, when they went into the public schools after a certain period, they were certainly prepared and ready. And the academics are excellent and on par with any kind of technologically and everything else that you get in a public school. But that character element and the themes that come with that were so critical to who I feel like my children are developing as humans.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful for the partnership that my home school, Salem Lutheran in Afton, provided for my children. I can never be thankful enough for that. And I think I was led there for a purpose and a reason. And it was the answer to my prayer, you know, and so I'm so thankful for it. And I think that that's what so many families are seeking, you know, because, you know, life is complicated, school is complicated, family's complicated. And so to be able to take your values that you want as a parent and make sure that somebody's enforcing those in the school system, you know, it, you just can't replicate it in a public school system. And I have that experience in both. So I know that what happens in the in Christian Lutheran schools is on par with what so many families want for their values.
So well said, Amy. And Libby, you know, I think you hit on something that's really important too. And in my experience of going to a Lutheran grade school and a Lutheran high school, I went to school with Presbyterians, with Catholics, with people who didn't really have a label on their faith at all, but their parents knew that it was a good place for them to be, and they liked the moral structure of it. And my prayer was always that the Christian Lutheran aspect of it would imprint upon their heart. I think that it's a distinction, and I, you know, I don't have anything against Catholic schools, but just not Catholic. I'm Lutheran myself. I think the distinction is that it's an alternative to the public school system, but it's a very, very welcoming environment for all people who are considering an alternative to check out.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, the Lutheran Church itself is, in many cases, full of members who are from Catholic backgrounds, who may not have wanted to be Catholic at the time, or married somebody like me who was a Presbyterian and decided to be Lutherans together as a family. So the Lutheran Church is very full, is full of a bunch of people who, and I'd say the church in general. I'm not sure there are any Baptists or Presbyterians anymore. I feel like everybody are finding congregations that they feel at home with. They're finding schools that replicate their values or what they want their children to be when they grow up.
Yeah, there's a lot of non-denominational out there that has those specific faith applications to it. But the Lutheran school system is a wonderful place to consider that alternative to public school education. You do not sacrifice quality of education in any way, shape, or form. And I say this by sending my own children there. So my evidence of supporting this is through my own tuition dollars that I pay, in addition to, of course, the property taxes I pay to support the public school system. But it's worth every penny to invest in my kids. I remember a friend of our family, friend of ours, was talking about her daughter at graduation and watching her daughter walk across. She went to the Lutheran High School, walk across the stage, and you know, you're filled with emotion. That's such an emotional time, especially for a parent. And she put this long post on Facebook, and she said, "If we wouldn't have chosen a Lutheran education for our child, I don't know that I would be confident right now that she's ready for the world." But she can go into a public university situation or whatever it is that comes next. And she said, as a parent, I know that I've done everything I can to prepare her for this moment when they go out into the world. And I'm okay with that right now. And I'm like, oh, I think at the time my oldest kid was like 10. And I'm like, I'm so sad. Charlie's going to graduate in 8 years. I'm working on getting over it. He starts high school tomorrow. But there are a lot of ways that people can get into the Lutheran school system or learn about it, which is why I implore you to go to lisastl.org/Annie. And Lisa is lesastl.org/Annie. And I know, because I hear from you all, you love it when I talk about being Lutheran. If you are somebody who has been blessed by the Lutheran schools or you have an attachment to it, there are opportunities for people to support through scholarships, donations, a big event, Brew in the Lou, that's coming up right now that helps other kids access this Lutheran education.
Yes, it sure does. And this is our 20th anniversary. We've been doing it for a long time. We've given away over $8 million in scholarships.
Wow. That's amazing. And I mean, if people go to lisastl.org/Annie, what do they get when they visit there? Like, what kind of things can they learn from the website if they're just looking for more information without having to talk to anybody quite yet?
Sure. So you get where the schools are. I think that's one of the biggest things is that people don't think there's a Lutheran school near them or it's accessible. And there are 33 elementary schools and 4 high schools in the metro area from Southern Illinois to St. Charles County. So that's the first thing is you see the map and see what's and see that there's one close to you. We can almost guarantee. And then you see how you could donate and then you could see how you could attend our fun events like Brew in the Lou that help. I think the access is so important because people do when they hear private schools or private Christian schools, they think it's not affordable. And I can tell you that our family was, you know, not one of the wealthiest on the block by any means. And each step of the way, we were found a way to make it accessible for us. And one of the ways is we were, this was before I was an employee, obviously, but so glad to be able to get back. We were Lisa scholarship recipients. And so we were able to, when our children, we got both in school and I went to work part time and we made the threshold. And so I think that it's important to realize that it's accessible for every level of income as well as anybody who can afford it. So I think that don't ever be hesitant to check that out. Yeah. And tuition assistance is available, and that's a tab that they can look for on the website. That is probably, we're out of the tuition cycle right now, but in January we'll revisit that.
That's
but some
awesome.
Of the schools still have it. Accessibility.
Yeah. Ask the questions.
Right.
I mean, if you're looking for that alternative, if you've been thinking about it, August is upon us. And if it's been tugging at your heart and you know that you don't want to continue doing what you've been doing before and you've been waiting for something to pop up and say, well, how about this alternative? Hello, here I am. Check out this website, lesastl.org/Annie, lesastl.org/Annie. And just look. You don't even have to call anybody or talk to anybody. Just look at the website and learn more about what they're doing. And check out the Brew in the Lou tickets. You can also, I think you guys, would you still accept sponsors?
Oh, we're looking for sponsors.
For people who might want to.
We're talking about in the lobby.
All right.
We have a goal and we're almost there.
Will
please
you guys,
come on.
Will you come back?
Yeah,
can we talk more about it?
Please.
Yes, all right.
Thank you
so much. We're going to be back in just a minute with the 2 o'clock hour. lesastl.org/Annie for the details. We'll be right back. Excited about a new partnership that we have here on the Annie Fry Show, and it's my ability to throw the weight of my show here and this station behind Lutheran schools. As you know, I am a product of Lutheran schools. I hope that's not like a negative thing. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I went to a Lutheran school, elementary school. I graduated from a Lutheran high school, Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. And I have in studio with me Libby Guberle and Amy Colvin. They are with the Lutheran Elementary School Association. And if you want to learn more about what we're talking about while we're talking about it, you can go to lesastl.org/Annie. And Lisa is just the abbreviation for Lutheran Elementary School Association. So it's lesastl.org/Annie. Libby and Amy, thank you so much for being in here today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Excited to have you. It is back to school time. So my son starts high school tomorrow and he's going to the Lutheran High School. And my other kids are going to their Lutheran school that starts next week. But how is it looking right now in the Lutheran schools as far as enrollment goes? Because I do know that a lot of people are looking for alternatives to the public education that they have in their area, in their community?
Well, we've had a very good run the last number of years, increasing our enrollment in the Lutheran school system, 20% since before COVID. So I think what people are finding in our system, and half of the kids in our schools are not Lutherans. They're from other walks of life. And they're finding that safety, traditional values, teachers are willing to partner with the parents in education and willing to be let their children be disciplined as necessary. But there's just a lot more partnership and more family atmosphere in the smaller classrooms.
I know this. I think I've always known this, but I'll direct this towards you, Amy. The thing that I appreciate the most as a parent who is willing to pay the tuition to send my kids to a Lutheran school, and it is incredibly more affordable than people think. It's a parochial education. It's within your reach. Maybe if you're listening right now and your grandparents have kids that you would do anything to get your kid out of grandkid out of public school, look into a Lutheran school near you, because it's very more accessible than you think it is. But Amy, the idea that my kids are going to a Lutheran school that has a definitive understanding of what is right, what is wrong. When something is wrong, you address it. But there's also the element of forgiveness on the other side of that. It's the full circle. That's so, that's, to me, it's like the Christian education and that understanding, I don't even really care about the math and the English. They do a great job, but what a lesson to learn, especially in these times, to be able to have that definitive understanding of right and wrong, and the most important part, the forgiveness.
Yes, I also am in a Lutheran school parent, have been. I haven't been in a few years, but my children were there. My daughter was there through sixth grade, so she did 8 years, including preschool. My son, 6 years, including preschool. And the effect that's had on our lives and who my children are and the people that they present to the rest of the world is enormous, especially when you compare it to their peers. The idea of forgiveness. Everybody is my friend. We're all here to do it together. And the academics are excellent. They, when they went into the public schools after a certain period, they were certainly prepared and ready. And the academics are excellent and on par with any kind of technologically and everything else that you get in a public school. But that character element and the themes that come with that were so critical to who I feel like my children are developing as humans.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful for the partnership that my home school, Salem Lutheran in Afton, provided for my children. I can never be thankful enough for that. And I think I was led there for a purpose and a reason. And it was the answer to my prayer, you know, and so I'm so thankful for it. And I think that that's what so many families are seeking, you know, because, you know, life is complicated, school is complicated, family's complicated. And so to be able to take your values that you want as a parent and make sure that somebody's enforcing those in the school system, you know, it, you just can't replicate it in a public school system. And I have that experience in both. So I know that what happens in Christian Lutheran schools is on par with what so many families want to further values.
So well said, Amy. And Libby, you know, I think you hit on something that's really important too. And in my experience of going to a Lutheran grade school and a Lutheran high school, I went to school with Presbyterians, with Catholics, with people who didn't really have a label on their faith at all, but their parents knew that it was a good place for them to be, and they liked the moral structure of it. And my prayer was always that the Christian Lutheran aspect of it would imprint upon their heart. I think that it's a distinction, and I, you know, I don't have anything against Catholic schools, but just not Catholic. I'm Lutheran myself. I think the distinction is that it's an alternative to the public school system, but it's a very, very welcoming environment for all people who are considering an alternative to check out.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, the Lutheran Church itself is, in many cases, full of members who are from Catholic backgrounds, who may not have wanted to be Catholic at the time or married somebody like me who was a Presbyterian and decided to be Lutherans together as a family. So the Lutheran Church is very full, is full of a bunch of people who, and I'd say the church in general. I'm not sure there are any Baptists or Presbyterians anymore. I feel like everybody are finding congregations that they feel at home with. They're finding schools that replicate their values, or what they want their children to be when they grow up.
Yeah. There's a lot of non-denominational out there that has those specific faith applications to it. But the Lutheran school system is a wonderful place to consider that alternative to public school education. You do not sacrifice quality of education in any way, shape, or form. And I say this by sending my own children there. So my evidence of supporting this is through my own tuition dollars that I pay, in addition to, of course, the property taxes I pay to support the public school system. But it's worth every penny to invest in my kids. I remember a family friend of ours was talking about her daughter at graduation and watching her daughter walk across. She went to the Lutheran High School, walk across the stage. And, you know, you're filled with emotion. That's such an emotional time, especially for a parent. And she put this long post on Facebook and she said, if we wouldn't have chosen a Lutheran education for our child, I don't know that I would be confident right now that she's ready for the world. But she can go into a public university situation or whatever it is that comes next. And she said, as a parent, I know that I've done everything I can to prepare her for this moment when they go out into the world. And I'm okay with that right now. And I'm like, oh, I think at the time my oldest kid was like 10. And I'm like, I'm so sad. Charlie's going to graduate in 8 years. I'm working on getting over it. He starts high school tomorrow. But there are a lot of ways that people can get into the Lutheran school system or learn about it, which is why I implore you to go to lisastl.org/Annie. And Lisa is lisastl.org/Annie. And I know, because I hear from you all, you love it when I talk about being Lutheran. If you are somebody who has been blessed by the Lutheran schools or you have an attachment to it, there are opportunities for people to support through scholarships, donations, a big event, Brew in the Lou, that's coming up right now that helps other kids access this Lutheran education.
Yes, it sure does. And this is our 20th anniversary. We've been doing it for a long time. We've given away over $8 million in scholarships.
Wow. That's amazing. And I mean, if people go to lisastl.org/Annie, what do they get when they visit there? Like, what kind of things can they learn from the website if they're just looking for more information without having to talk to anybody quite yet?
Sure. So you get where the schools are. I think that's one of the biggest things is that people don't think there's a Lutheran school near them or it's accessible. And there are 33 elementary schools and 4 high schools in the metro area from Southern Illinois to St. Charles County. So that's the first thing is you see the map and see what's and see that there's one close to you. We can almost guarantee. And then you see how you could donate and then you could see how you could attend our fun events like Brew in the Lou that help. I think the access is so important because people do when they hear private schools or private Christian schools, they think it's not affordable. And I can tell you that our family was, you know, not one of the wealthiest on the block by any means. And each step of the way, we were found a way to make it accessible for us. And one of the ways is we were, this was before I was an employee, obviously, but so glad to be able to get back. We were Lisa scholarship recipients. And so we were able to, when our children, we got both in school and I went to work part time and we made the threshold. And so I think that it's important to realize that it's accessible for every level of income as well as anybody who can afford it. So I think that don't ever be hesitant to check that out. Yeah. And tuition assistance is available, and that's a tab that they can look for on the website. That is probably, we're out of the tuition cycle right now, but in January we'll revisit that.
That's
but some
awesome.
Of the schools still have accessibility.
Yeah. Ask the questions.
Right.
I mean, if you're looking for that alternative, if you've been thinking about it, August is upon us, and if it's been tugging at your heart and you know that you don't want to continue doing what you've been doing before and you've been waiting for something to pop up and say, well, how about this alternative? Hello, here I am. Check out this website, lisastl.org/Annie, lisastl.org/Annie, and just look. You don't even have to call anybody or talk to anybody. Just look at the website and learn more about what they're doing. And check out the Brew in the Lou tickets. You can also, I think you guys, would you still accept sponsors?
Oh, we're looking for sponsors.
For people who might want to.
We're talking about in the lobby.
All
right. We have a goal and we're almost there.
Will
please
you guys,
come on.
Will you come back?
Yeah,
can we talk more about it?
Please.
Yes, all right.
Thank you
so much. We're going to be back in just a minute with the 2 o'clock hour. lesastl.org/Annie for the details. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.